and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement.
Because
of the
faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavens.
The first program God is running is individual, and the church seems to think that everything is about individuals. You know? And most people who come to church think that the whole business of God is just about them. So if you come to church, they're not talking about you. If the preacher's message is not coming in your direction, you probably switch off or sleep off. The second is the church. Never play with the church. The church is the hope of the nations. The church is God's answer for every problem in society. God's plan for dealing with the individuals is so he can get the building blocks for creating the church. Because church is a community. And then the third is the nation, the state. God's ultimate dream and goal is to get every nation on earth discipled, reclaimed back to become his. God raised a modern nation by the name of Israel. And whenever he talks about Israel, he said, Israel is my firstborn. Everyone say, Israel is my firstborn. When you get to individual, he says, Christ is my first begotten or my firstborn. The reason Jesus is called firstborn is because every son that comes into the kingdom is to be conformed to the image of Christ so that he will be the firstborn among many brethren. The reason Israel is called the firstborn nation is because every nation that is discipled or saved is to be a son nation, pattern after the pattern of Israel. The way God has a purpose for individuals, he has purpose for nations. And he has purpose for the church. And the purpose of the church is to bless the purpose of the nation. The purpose of the church is to actually find the purpose of God for the nation and help beg it. A nation without national purpose that has lost its direction, without a vision, is like an aircraft that has lost its way, like a ship that is adrift in the ocean without any compass. It's like we have gathered a massive group of people in this nation. We have about 150 million heading nowhere. When a system is about to be developed, you start with needs or a problem. Real problem that needs to be solved. The reason God raises nations is because there are certain things he wants to accomplish. And then he gives that nation a purpose. The national purpose is the reason the founding fathers fought and many of them lost their lives. No nation gets up to fight for freedom until they see something ahead of them that is better than what they are enjoying or what they are used to presently. The nation of Israel saw the promised land. God raised a man by the name of Abraham. The vision of the promised land did not start with Moses. It started with the founding father of that nation. God told him, leave thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. He abandoned everything, paid an ultimate price, sacrificed his son in order to be able to obtain this promise. But he got to a point. He got to a point. And he died. Because one man doesn't make a nation. The purpose may start with an individual, but that is not yet the full dream. During the time of Moses, God awakened that project. By this time, there were about 3 million people. And he said, now go to my people who are in Egypt, who have adapted themselves to that system, and tell them that I'm the God of their father, the God of the founding fathers, the God of Dr. Nnamdi Azikiwe, Awolowo, and so on. Because these men I mentioned started as Christians and ended up traditionalists, socialists. God has a program for the individual. God has a program for the church. And God is the God of the nations, and he has a program for every nation. And at the end of the day, nations will be judged. Individuals will be judged. Churches will be judged. And nations will be gathered. And the question will be whether you are a sheep nation or a goat nation. Whether you are a son nation or a slave nation. I want to say a few things that will begin to position you to think creatively. To think solutions. As I go into what we need to discuss tonight. One of them is this. The key to national transformation is harnessing the potentials, the giftings, the callings, the ministries of every member of the body of Christ. The moment ministry becomes kingdom-based, kingdom-driven, it is now like the ocean. It throws away all limitations on the ministry. The problem we have with churches is that the whole dream of ministry is to get people born again and trap them in church. Meanwhile, this thing is traveling this way. When people are saved, they are to be brought into the community and the family of God's children. But the reason church exists is to change the nation, to transform the nation. When a man's vision, whether he's a Christian or a pastor or a church or whatever, when the vision stops with church, it's an abortion of God's program. It's like pregnancy that is harnessed at the third month. It's usually an abortion. It's something that has potential to bring transformation that is not allowed to go through the full process. You don't train church members to be good members. You train them for societal transformation. So the church becomes the facilitator, the training ground, the breeding ground for individual destinies and corporate destinies that impacts the nation completely. No one should go through the church and not have a national vision. The church is actually the hubbub of patriotism and national consciousness. All the things that they were not able to deal with, our founding fathers, is the church that this. Whenever God gives a church to a nation, he has given that nation the solution to all her problems. When it comes to developing your leadership potentials, the first is to develop personal leadership. You have to discover your purpose. You have to discover your potentials. You have to get into personal development, get into training, get into everything that helps unleash all the investment that God has made in you. Equip you to begin to fulfill your individual calling. Then all of those things, you use it at the next level to serve in the body of Christ. The second thing is to develop your ministry as a priest. You are a priest. You have a role in the body of Christ. The church is a kingdom of priests. It's a royal priesthood. What it means is it's a kingdom of priests. Every member of it, of that organization or an institution or nation, actually it's a holy nation, but that nation is a nation made up of priests. Everybody in it is a priest. Everybody in it is a minister. So the second thing is to develop your ministry. You have contributions to make to in building God's nation, God's holy nation. You have contributions to make towards church growth and expansion. And God has a strategy for the church to fulfill her ministry. Because the church is supposed to harness the ministries of everyone in it. And first of all, release them to serve within the mandate, the mission, and the vision of the church. And the strategy God has developed for that is called the cell system. Any one of you that is functioning as an individual, even though you come to church, you are in rebellion. You are actually walking contrary to the program of God. You are to be a member of a cell. If you are not, you are not even a church member. Coming to Sunday services is not church membership. Belong to one of the small family units within the church. Church is community. Church is community. We have to rediscover community or we will miss our destiny. Church is community. Church is where you lose individualism to blend into community. Church is where you learn teamwork. If you have been in a church for a while, your mandate is to start a family within God's big family. In the social context, we know that once you get of age, everybody is expected to get married and settle down. It's the same thing with church. It's a nation made up of small families. You call it the small group, the cell system. That platform or strategy called the cell system provides every member of the church opportunity to begin to carry out their priestly ministry within the church. An amalgamation network of cells is what forms a church body, not congregation. No church can be effectively pastored as a congregation. Even state has to be broken down into, even nation, into states, local government, and wards. How much more? Not even a state can be managed. So there are systems. And the primary system for functioning in the community of priests is that each priest belongs to a band that has specific ministry. Do you know that all the priests don't have the same responsibility? There are some priests that don't sacrifice animals. In the Old Testament, some priests, their job is just worship. This is one small unit. This is a cell. But then, everybody should belong to one small cell like this. You see, in a meeting like this, you know where you are, and you ended up back in your family. Many of these people don't have families. An usher some time ago was attacked and rushed to hospital. I was told that the people who prayed and suspended death and visited the gentleman and made sure he survived that were ushers. That is his own family unit. But then, of course, you know, you have choir ushers, royal guard, you know, those normal ones you see in church. So the rest of them say, since I'm not blessed to sing, and no. If you have age, and we're talking about sonship in this meeting. If you want to die a baby, if you're of age, you're supposed to be pioneering a cell yourself, extending God's family line. The greatest thing that pained God the Father when Adam fell was not that Adam sinned, though. It was not that he ate the forbidden fruit. It's that all the generations he put inside Adam to release, Adam carried all of them and pushed them into that mess. You see, if Adam has finished giving birth to children before he fell, we wouldn't have had the disaster we're having. One of his children can redeem the father. We won't need to have Christ come from heaven. One of them is enough. Offer him on the altar. He can redeem both the father and the mother. Because one of the responsibilities that God entrusted to man is that responsibility to reproduce his children. I made you in my image, after my likeness. Now reproduce after my kind. Reproduce. So he first of all went and corrupted the image of God, took on satanic image before reproduction. So that every child that was coming into this world was born a child of the devil. That is the greatest, that's what is called high treason. It's not that he lost the planet. The high treason, the betrayal of the highest order that Adam did to God. And that's what many believers are doing. Many refuse to release the generations they are carrying. They are not betting new souls. They are not raising new people for God. Meanwhile, the mandate is be fruitful, multiply, so you can saturate the earth. The key, when you are at this stage, the moment you give your life to Christ, this one should be taught. God has a three-dimensional strategy for changing the world. The first is called personal evangelism. Christianity grows from person to person. It's like a yeast. You put it in a dough. It doesn't make noise, but it starts leavening the whole lump. It touches the ones around it. It moves to the next sphere. It moves to the next sphere. And finally, it has leavened the whole lump. That's how Christianity grows. The principle for growing Christianity and expanding the kingdom of God all over is through person to person. Whichever sector of life God has saved you from, start from there. Start from your Jerusalem. It might be your immediate friends, it might be family, it might be work colleagues in the work, whatever, and start infiltrating them with the influence of the kingdom of God. Personal evangelism is where ministry starts. If you don't want to take ministry beyond that level, because that is elementary level, is to get into what is called community. That's where church comes in. At this level, you start learning leadership. Because at this level, the only leadership you develop is basically yourself. How to use your gift. If you get word of knowledge, you start learning how to use it and win souls, developing your talent, finding out who you are. As you serve at this level, begin to win souls, you start finding out many things about yourself. That's how I came to where I am now. That's how I arrived here. By this. And then you start finding out many things about you. Things about you, because you don't unearthing your potentials until a demand is placed on you. Potential is released when demand is placed on it. You have to start work. Oh, sitting down praying for purpose and other is wasting your time. You don't need more than 5 minutes to discover purpose. In all the key, the most deadly key to finding out who you are, your destiny, is to start serving. Start giving your life for others. But then when you have started and your gifts are working, you are able to realize you are a child. All you have achieved is personal leadership. You harness your potential. You have developed. And that can take you so far. The next level is where God has to teach you how to walk with other human beings. Other brethren. Other people in the church. That you can do things on your own doesn't make you a leader. Leadership, genuine leadership begins when you know how to walk with people. And there is a platform God has created to, you know, you give birth to a child, you have to introduce him to family. And there he will meet his brothers and sisters. He will see when there is toy that other people want it. And that's what happened to Nigeria. We just barely got independence. Everybody has started fighting for national cake. But we did not achieve national integration until today. It's hindering this nation from going to the next level because of selfishness that is tribally based and selfishness that is individually based. If anybody gets opportunity for leadership, he loses the nation dry. Then most of the time, you come to catch them like EFCC have found it very hard to prosecute many of the corrupt leaders. You touch them, they raise tribal sentiment. And their people will rise. They say, you want to kill our son? You want to touch him? That is a criminal living for us. And then he stole, he comes back, they celebrate him and give him chieftaincy title. So, here you are introduced to men. You know, a lot of people just win souls here and all that, and they think they are fulfilling the Great Commission because they said, I won 36 souls last year or this year. Do you know, between January and now, I won 200 souls. Where are they? If you don't bring those souls within the context of relationship to start building family and to start living within the context of community to develop what is called the church, which is the base from where God can impact the nation, you have failed. The souls will must be integrated at this level and relationship is built and established. Even if they live outside your city, the relationship continues. Because some of you family members are from villages, your parents are in the villages, but you are in city, but you still know where your family is. And that's where, when you make money and you want to send money to your parents, you don't send it away to one white man in London. You send it away to your parents, no matter whether they are in the village or not. You know where you belong. It's the same thing with tithing and other things that we have to do as responsibilities in the church. Because until God finds a strong community, it cannot impact the nation. Never try changing a nation on individualism. You will die before your time. You will never succeed in making significant impact at that level until you have developed a platform from within this context to do it. And we'll look at some of those things later. But this is God's dream. So when God saved you here, he saved you here because he has an assignment for you there. Then he put you here to be molded, to be trained for this. So people talking about the dichotomy between church and state don't know what they're talking about. The greatest gift God gives to states is the church, not the government. As a matter of fact, God's plan is not for government to be running the affairs of the nation. It's for his church to form the government of every nation. And that we will do at the proper time. God bless you. Give them a big God bless you. Let me just say this. You stand there. Remember the last man, the nation. There's also a strategy for transforming the nation. I just said something about the church and the cell system. Harnessing the ministry of every member of the church, creating the context of the cell from where they operate. Because the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It always starts small. But the cell can envelop a whole city. Because cell is something that grows, multiplies, and gives birth to more cells, and grows and multiplies, and gives birth to more cells, till it has covered the city like a yeast. Like yeast covers the dough. But the strategy for transforming the nation, take note, the strategy for transforming the nation is unleashing the kingly ministry of believers. Here they are trained to minister as priests. They are ministers of God. But here now they have leadership roles in society. They have service responsibility, civic responsibility if you wish, social responsibility if you wish. They have ministries in society. And this kind of ministry many a time doesn't look like ministry. Because part of that ministry is what they need to do to provide right leadership for their nation. Part of it could be what they need to do to provide jobs for those that are looking for it. A nation is not built by government alone. A nation is built by harnessing the combined potentials and ministries of all the citizenry. It's this thing that God gave the church to model. He gave the church to model a place where people can come from different tribes and tongues, and then ethnicity is not a factor in deciding who you become in the church. He said here, all the isms are eliminated. No racism, no tribalism, no sexism, because some people discriminate on the basis of their career. The social elites, you're a medical doctor. How can you? You're a mechanic. You think you can come because we're in church? Is it because I got born again? You cannot come. Here in church, it talks about bringing the mountains low, lifting the valleys up, making the crooked places straight. What it's talking about is everyone that thinks you're exalted, condescend to men of low estate. Look for brethren that are not up there and help, lend them a helping hand and move them up to where you are. That is what Jesus Christ modeled for us. Though he was living in heaven, a palace, a world of bliss, a paradise where everything was there, he had to abandon that, come down, pay whatever price that was necessary to lift many of us that are living in hell up. So a church is where all the isms are destroyed. All the dividing walls. The Bible said of the toughest of them is this one between the Jews and the Gentile. That was the one that was in existence as at the time Christ came. Jews treat Gentiles like dogs. Like nobody's. He said he brought down that wall of partition, destroying that enmity that was between the two in his death on the cross. And then in the church, he took the Jews and the Gentiles to form one new man. The church is to model that kind of unity, integration, social integration that we need to see in the nation. Sad to say that even in churches, the same problem we're seeing in our nation is existing tribalism. What is it? We have sexism, where women are relegated to the back. Paul said in the church, there's no male, there's no female. All are one in Christ. Sex is not a contest for considering what you do, your calling, your gifting, your potentials is what we want to see you bring on the board and use to be a blessing to others. Who told you that a male pastor is a better pastor than a female one? When you read about God's general and you meet MacPherson, you meet Marianne Woodward Etter, you meet Catherine Kuma. Is there any of those generals that stood in a better place than them? He said, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Ministry is a mandate to both sexes. He said in the beginning, let them, not let him, let them have dominion. He said he made them male and female. Dominion is a mandate to both sexes. A woman can rule Lagos. A woman can rule Nigeria. There is no way it's written that male presidents are better presidents. If self doesn't rise, then sectional interest becomes the issue that destroys national interest. All of those sicknesses are in the church. All of them. So, the key to transforming the nation is taking the kingdom of God outside church and packaging new platforms that are non-religious in nature for presenting the same thing. The people we have trained within the church should go to society. It's the same cell strategy. But now, they don't have to call it cell group, whatever. They can create different names for it. It could be NGO. It could be a political movement. It could be a social organization. But depending on which aspect of society you want to impact, create a platform that has no religious face to deal with it. God has made all of us ministers. We're all ministers. But God doesn't need all the ministers here. The church that Jesus Christ and the Father designed is the opposite of stadium church. How many of you watch football live? How many of you have been there to watch football? Football match live. In a football match, you see a massive congregation sitting down, round. And 12 men on this side, 11 men plus their linesmen are playing. The referee too are also involved. You see them running around everywhere. So sometimes about 24 people are actually playing. Thousands of people, sometimes 60,000, are sitting down clapping for them. That is the opposite of the dream of God for the church. And that's what we're doing. The rest of the people are spectators, clapping. Nobody is allowed to join spectating till you are dead. The crowd of witnesses are the ones that are told to sit down now and clap. They are on the grandstands of heaven, sitting at the football pitch, clapping for us as we are scoring the goals. And sometimes say, ah, as you blow it. Sometimes they weep. What God did is that he raised 12 coaches for the early church. 12. And said, train all these people in the stadium to play. That the dream of God is the opposite of stadium church. The dream is where the whole people are doing ministry and 12 men are coaching and supervising. So you see the rate, full-time ministry versus lay ministry. When you say lay ministry, you mean people who are working but they are doing ministry. God gave the 12 leaders and the church grew to 150,000 people with 12 leaders. After they added 7 additional helpers plus the 12 leaders. What it should be, if I make what I call, how many want to go into ministry? Every time I've done it, you see thousands of people here. God doesn't need you in church. He needs a handful in church. He needs some ministers in the political field. This obvious question. She could have died inside church. That woman has changed the educational sector. She has brought all kinds of innovation there. They call her Miss Due Process. Every area they moved her into, pastor's wife, the husband is in church. But she has found a new platform outside church. From serving Nigeria now to World Bank. This is exactly what Daniel did. This is what Joseph did. Sometimes you read your Bible, you don't see those ones as ministers. But God raised them higher than the Jeremiahs, in case you don't know. And the Obadiahs. And the Isaiahs. At least the highest Elijah did was shake up Ahab, rebuke, just resulted in death. But he did not bring a complete turnaround of a nation. He tried, at least among the prophets, he went further than others. Because he brought about national revival and transformed and brought about the end of Baal worship in Israel. That is one of the few. When you pick Moses, pick Elijah, go and read about the rest. Preaching in church every Sunday, writing prophecies and all that. Thus say to Tyre, thus say to Moab. These are messages to nations. Where is Moab? Have they heard it? Do you know they wrote prophecy to Nigeria? Nigeria is in that book. It's now, almost 4,000 years after that, we're beginning to interpret it. But Solomon took a different platform, the political platform. The Bible says all the kings of the earth were coming to listen to. Because every politician will listen to a politician. Doctors will listen to doctors. You're a minister, but God wants you to keep medicine. Medicine as a platform. You can organize something for all the nurses, organize something for all the doctors, and get all of them discipled, and a pastor might come, they might not allow him, they might just ask him to come and pray. You can help everybody that is sick within that hospital, make sure they don't die and enter into hell. You can be the last bus stop that sends them from hell to heaven, for those who are going to die anyhow, or help them recover their health. God strategically placed you there. And you who fold your hand like this. Every Sunday you come to church, sit. Watch a man that is manifesting, manifest. When he finishes manifesting, to model to you what you are to be doing. You go to your platform, your own pulpit, starts on Monday. You sit. Monday to the next Sunday, you have not delivered one sermon from your pulpit. You have not written, hey, the book of Daniel, you are writing the book of a national administrator, a politician. And the book is as loaded as the one written by Pastor and Apostle John the Beloved. That's why many of God's people are confused. Because they have not seen correct models in the other platforms. The key to transforming the nation is to create other platforms outside the church. The church is just one platform. That one raises leaders, must produce deliverers. But those deliverers need platforms from where to function. There's a platform you stand on. You come to meet your governor. He responds favorably. NGO. This is how you disciple society. It's not by telling him to leave Islam. There are a lot of values within the kingdom of God that we need to take out there, and there's a new context for where we market it, and they will buy it. I want to speak to a group of people in government. I finished. A Muslim said, after listening to you, my respect for Christianity has been restored. I now believe in the gospel. I said, whoa, why? Explain to me. And he said certain things, and I saw why. His quarrel is not with Jesus Christ. His quarrel is not with the gospel. His quarrel is with many pastors and the way he has seen them present this thing. So there are many doors that pastors cannot open. Get it into your system. There are many platforms that men of God will not climb. Normal church ministers. I'm speaking in all kinds of platforms, all kinds of doors. Because, like God Almighty, I'm a man of many colors. God has four faces. You look at him once, you see a man. You say, is this a man, a human being? You look again, you see a cherub. He has just turned the other side. You say, he's a spirit. I thought I saw a human being the other time. You look again, you see lion. I'm afraid. You look again, you see an oxen. You say, cow, sheep. So God is this humble and meek. He can die for people. He can be sacrificed. A whole God. You look again, he has turned the other side. He's a lion. That's how believers that will change their world will be. This is your religious thing. They just call you to speak to a group of young students or speak within the government. You have already said, are you mad? What is wrong with you? Are you a madman? That is that you and that madman in the street are behaving alike. You baptize your madness with religion and you think you're all right. What is wrong with you? You carry one fat Bible like this. Everyone shout hallelujah. The Muslims in government will be looking at you. What is wrong with you? I followed Dr. Maismoro on two assignments to State National Assembly that man opened my eyes to other dimensions of ministry. When we got to one of the National Assembly, half were Muslims, half were Christians. The person that introduced him after doing that said, "Let us pray." The Muslims kept their cap on their head. And they were looking. Their eyes were open, my own was open. Because I came there, I didn't come there to pray. I came there to see how you change nations. When they finished the prayer, one of them took his newspaper and was reading while they were praying. Inside State House of Assembly, they finished the prayer, they introduced the man. When I looked at him, in his assessment, you know, these pastors, what does he have to tell us? My sermon started. He took the United Nations Millennium Goals, dissected it, put Africa where Africa was. Everybody dropped their glasses, and many of the Alhajis dropped their car. The one that was reading dropped his newspaper, brought out something, and started taking notes. Then the guy schooled them here, schooled them here, schooled them, came into a point and introduced Christ. He said, "How many of you want to be?" Everybody stood up. All the caps were on the table. Just one or two things he told them, everyone felt ashamed. Speaker of the house began to beg, "Sir, we want to invite you now on our own platform, not, you know, can you come back?" He said, "I'm too busy, no, I'm traveling the world and all that." Because if you want to invite, you pay in dollars, you know. Platforms. People who will leave religion behind, repackage. If the people you have to reach are rastas, if you have to grow rasta hair, grow it. It's not a sin. It's actually part of the equipment for your ministry. If you have to learn how to talk like a Rastafarian, I know I'm still, you know, trying that, but it has not worked. I don't know whether talking in tongues will help me one or two times, you know, but it hasn't worked. Jai Rastafari, you know how they came out. How they say. If I go there doing this rap, they will catch me. They know it's fake. Who sent this one? But there are some of you, these guys are in that world perishing. Paul said to the Romans, "I become as the Romans. To the Jews, I become as the Jews. With one purpose in mind, that I might win them." Those who will change their world are those who will die for their world. I'm not looking for people who want everybody to like them. I'm looking for people. They will see what you are doing later. And they will thank you for it. But they will kill you first. They will finish you with their mouth. When his brothers saw him, Joseph, they thought he was an Egyptian. They didn't recognize him. So where he said, he called him, he said, "I'm one of you, I'm your brother." No. But the ministry here is society, is Egypt. That's why you see all this Pharaoh-like thing on my head. See the ring. I have not become an occult man in case I'm still the seed of Abraham. But you can see, the whole Egypt is following me. The Bible said God raised him to teach Pharaoh's senators wisdom and to execute justice in the land of Egypt. The guy was running a school of ministry as well as leading that nation and managing the economy and transformed the nation. That's why I was telling you, you have to be converted. Because when you are talking to a group of management teams and you want to teach some of the things I'm doing, you might not do all of them like I did it. Come with you. You have said come with you. It's in the bank. Oh. God has just released you now to go and impact the whole bank with come with you. You get there. You start screaming because you saw pastors screaming here on stage. Maybe you saw somebody manifesting and rolling on the floor. If you're not careful, you join our role. Are you not like the Babalawo, the prayer house people? Haven't you seen them dancing on one leg? Is that not what you're doing? You confuse the whole people that you're supposed to reach. You need to see me when I'm on my national diplomatic assignments. or when I'm even doing spiritual diplomacy with states and nations, you sometimes wonder, this guy, why won't he quote the Bible? I use Bible just sometimes in reference form. But when you finish, I want to introduce something to you. He gave it to me this afternoon. Hakuna Matata Concert Volume 1, DC Fresh. This is a good place to clap. But entertainment without pollution. A group of people have created a platform outside church, but minus the pollutions. You don't have to go there and get your mind filled with all kinds of filthy things in the name, but you get even better quality, higher levels of entertainment. Laugh out your heart. And I've been looking forward to when they will start packaging it in video. Night of a thousand laughs. Let's, you know, laugh. We need to laugh. And you switch it in, good joke there, good entertainment there, then the devil's children, how won't they be there? One will come and start singing about Ekaite and all the exploits of the girl and all kinds of things. You know, and everybody is laughing, everybody, whatever. We are destroying the moral fabric of the nation. We are destroying our young people. And the media is such a powerful thing. Entertainment is such a powerful thing. Sports is such a powerful thing. And these are ministry platforms that many in the church are called and they are not harnessing. Sports is one tool you can use to harness the whole youth in the nation. Organizing volleyball competition, organizing football competition. Before you get to the national standard where you cannot do it like Iwanyamu versus Rangers, you can start it within your locality. Start organizing it. You will see the whole place filled with young people. Just have a cup attached price to it. All that money you are using to do crusade, you spend $2 million doing crusade, you spend $500,000 doing it. That use just $100,000 as the reward for the cup. Then you know that young people. It's just a different platform from church, crusade, sing, choir. The only songs from God are not gospel songs. National songs are from God. Our patriot is a musician, Sonny Okosie. Which way Nigeria? Which way to go? That's a good song. When you see such song, buy it. It is godly. Sonia De and Onye Konwenu. If you love me, you will wait for me. Is that not what we are preaching? Leave sex till we arrive at marriage. Is that not what we are preaching? Good dance is part of it. We are told to redeem every part of society, including the culture. We don't want the unbelieving dances. When they finish dancing, Herod will take off the head of John the Baptist. We want the type that when you finish watching, your head can still be calm. Not the one you finish watching, you are looking at another man's wife and you have undressed her with your eyes. There's something they are doing now. Is it not idol West Africa? Oh, church people. When we go there, holy, dede. Fela's son is sitting on the judgment seat. You are singing holy. Are you? That is the first thing. I know you have disgusted the guy. He is off. He has already marked you. They have come again. How can you tell a fish that you want to catch him and expect him to stay? Because your church has taught you. Holy are you, Lord? In what context? Is this worship? Is this thing worship? What they are looking for is what? Idol. What? A musical icon that can sell records. You didn't see Africa to create song with. You didn't see love. Hey, and a lot of people now think that if you sing love songs, you are backsliding. But there is a whole book in the Bible that is a book of songs. And the songs in it are all love songs, romance, everything. They're even singing about breasts, they're singing about neck, they're singing about hips, they're singing about all sorts of things. Have you read that book? Romance is spiritual, it's in the book. What is wrong? Spirituality does not cancel sexuality. Who designed the woman like that? God, holy God. Who designed sex? God, as holy as he is, so he's the one that designed it. But he gave the context where it should be harnessed. So when you fall in love and you get your new bride, you should buy some of those things. As I look at your eyes. Don't let religion kill your life. Don't worry, I've already made up my mind before coming. I know they will fire me from the church. I know the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I know what they will do. I'm not afraid. I've already paid my price already. It's not an issue. It's not an issue. But after, they will catch up with what we are talking about now. They will catch up. When you carry elementary education to be interpreting an universal program of God. Next time, buy Living Bible, Good News, and read Songs of Solomon. Your eyes will almost pop open. Huh? You say, huh? The guy read it in Living Bible. He said, Solomon has backslidden. He's the one that is backslidden. He didn't know. He said, huh? No, a genuine man of God cannot be writing this. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If we let Channel O give us the love songs, you know what they are doing. MTV, give us the love song. There is love at its pure form. There is love at its vulgar, corrupt form. They are pouring that corruption into the heart of our young people. What is the alternative? A genuine young man that is in love in the church. Or is it a sin to fall in love? Eh? Who created your emotion? Is it demons? It's a sin to fall in love. I fell in love, oh, that's why I'm married. You think I just met her and said, Thus said the Lord, thou art my daughter, I have called thee to be the wife of the servant of the Lord. And when we keep that fake whatever, you see a whole church filled with hypocrites. You see, some of your brethren are falling for unbelievers. They say the brothers are dry. Ordinary to take you out, they don't know how to. The unbelieving boy comes, he looks at the girl, he starts rapping Solomon's rap. He say, your nose. He talks about the neck. Solomon, hey. Hey. Solo. That guy. We need more songs like that, my friends. It's anointed. In the proper place. Within the right contents. Do you know that your song is the number one song in my car now? Everywhere I go. I wish you can play. Can you play it, please? Where is the soundtrack? Okay, play the CD for us. Let them just hear. Dry marriages. Dry. The sister that married you is now a hellfire because they married a bro. The bro that fell in love with you has entered trouble. In the morning you are smelling. In the afternoon you are smelling. In the evening you are smelling. Ordinary to go to the saloon and put yourself in shape. Let the bro enjoy life. He said, hey. When talking about the wife of your youth, he said, be raptured with her love. Let her breast satisfy you always. This is solo gospel according to Solomon. Life is a balance thing, my friends. Can I hear you say amen? Can I hear you say? You don't know how to dress? Let some nice sister help you knock good ties, you know, put whatever. So when you say to a sister, hi sis, she will turn and say, yeah. Preach to me, bro. Preach. Go ahead. Did you see anything that polluted your heart? Is it not love he's singing about? I love you. If you love me, come stay with me. Let's build our life together. This is a good one you can give to the girl the night you want to propose. There are many platforms like this. Are you getting the message? How many of you are getting it? Let me be sure. Don't go tomorrow and start singing the banji and say, Pastor, say, buy the banji in your car. All of them are good songs. So if you go to talk to youth, you should be able to know what to tell them to be able to make, let them be able to make their choices. Yes. I told you the gospel of the kingdom is society that we discuss there. Everything that is going on there. So we come up with solutions. At first level, which is the gospel of salvation, we are discussing you, your death of Jesus on the cross and all that. At the level of the kingdom, we are discussing real life issues. You come to church, we are discussing what just happened in the political scene. How are we going to help? What are we going to do to be able to get good governance? That is the responsibility of the church. You must live here with a mission, a mind. Next thing is that you must also begin to trust God to download, put from the messages from everything you are hearing, and also from the Holy Ghost, strategies, how to go about achieving the dream of God for your life, to affect that aspect of society. There are billions out there waiting for those who will take up social impacting ministries, who will come up with platforms and different setups and create a platform to deal with real issues in society. There are a lot of money out there to fund it. And that money will come, a group of people will sit and just share it away. And no impact. This is exactly what God is raising you for. Somebody might take up this issue of gender education, but that might not be your own. Your own might be unemployment. Your own might be all these drivers in town. You want to help disciple them. It's a young man now. He has started a ministry to disciple the whole police force in Nigeria. Right now, there are many police stations doing ministry every week, impacting the police. It is one area of society that God raised you up for. You must leave this camp meeting with a mission in mind. Lift your hands. Talk to the Lord. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. The pastors will have to go back and start building what is called the cell system within the church, so that everybody will have platform to grow and function. Secondly, we need to start what is called massive revolution of lay ministry. Lay ministry is the key if we want to change our society and all that. Ministries are sitting now all over the church. They need to be harnessed, trained, and released. If you're a minister of the gospel, the potential to transform your city is right now sitting in your congregation. You know what to do with them. You can transform that city. You don't know what to do with them. You can kill the destinies of the people. And society will be getting worse and worse, even with many churches in it. Talk to the Lord to open your eyes, to show you what you need to do. There is something you're going to do when you live here. You're going to live here with a mission, with a mandate.
Impacted by this message, please share your experience with Pastor David Ogweli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792 6879, 0803 435 7959, 0803 590 9900, 0805 315-3823.